And this morning I get an opportunity to give you a charge from the Word of God as you're leaving this place and going out into this. I want to especially speak to the graduates this morning. I don't mean the rest of you can leave or anything, but this is for our graduates especially because you're entering new territory. You're entering new territory in your lives. Much like Joshua, as God prepared him to lead the children of Israel into the promised land of Canaan, you're going into new territory. You know, for years, Joshua was under the supervision and guidance of Moses. Moses was the leader of the children of Israel, leader of God's people. He's the one who had the authority. He's the one who had the responsibility. He's the one that was used to God to make the decisions, leadership decisions for that nation. Joshua was taught and was led by Moses. He was certainly used of God there as a part of that nation. But he was always under Moses' tutelage. He was under Moses during that whole time. For years, that's kind of been your situation. You have been under the supervision and guidance of your parents and your family for all these years. And they're the ones who had the authority. They're the ones who had the responsibility. They're the ones who made most of the decisions as you grew up and so forth. And yes, you were taught by them. You were led by them. And even in growing up as a child, you can be used of God. And I know that you were. I know that you were. But always under submission to your parents. Well, Joshua, the time came for Joshua to move out from under Moses' leadership. Moses, in fact, died. He died, and Joshua was given new responsibilities. He was given new authority as the leader of that nation. And he's the one now who would make the decisions. They were moving on to new territory, from the wilderness, moving into the land of Canaan that God had promised to that nation. And for that purpose that God had separated that nation for himself, that was going to be realized in that land. Well, the same is true for the three of you. You are now, you know, moving out from under your parents' supervision. Now, that does not mean your parents are not dead, so they are still there for you. They're still there to give guidance and help and support and so forth, but they're not with you every day. I know that cell phones draw us a lot closer these days, but they're not with you every day to make those. You've got new responsibilities. You have a new authority, in a sense, over your own choices, your own decisions, your own judgments that you'll make. You come to church on Sundays. Your parents bring you. When you're in college, the question is going to be for you. Am I going to go to church or not? Am I going to read my Bible each day or not? Am I going to pray? The things that they would lead you to do and encourage you to do, they're not going to be there necessarily to do that for you. You're going to make those own decisions. You're moving on to new territory. Your home has been your territory all these years. You've grown up in it. It's been the place you've depended on. You're now moving away to college to prepare for your careers, for your own life, for your independence as an adult, and to find God's purpose for your life. So you see that change is there as well. For Joshua, for Israel, as they moved into that new territory, that new land, there were tough times that they were facing. They faced opposition from the nations that were there that they would fight against. They faced new temptations. They were moving into a land that was filled with idolatry. And they were going to face the temptations of that was going to be around them all the time. And yet, in fact, in spite of that, there was great hope for them as they entered that land. There was hope for prosperity. There was hope for success, possessing what God had promised to them, fulfilling what God's purpose was for their lives. And you too, as you move into college and move on in your lives, you're going to face new challenges. You're going to find opposition from those who are enemies of the cross of Christ. You're going to find it from people you go to school with. You know, even if you go to a Christian school, you're not necessarily going to find everybody there is Christian. And everybody believes the truth of the Scriptures. And everybody knows Jesus Christ is Savior. You're not going to find that. You're certainly not going to find it even from professors. You're going to find opposition, especially if you guys are going in science and medical backgrounds. You're going to be faced with lots of teaching that's not in line up with the Word of God. So there's going to be opposition. There's going to be temptations before you to participate in the activities of the world, to love the world more than loving God. You're going to face, temptations to satisfy the body rather than your spirits and to feed the spirit that you have. But you too have hope. An expectation of success and prosperity, not only in your careers, but also in your spiritual lives, of realizing what God's purpose is for your life, or realizing the promises God has made to you as a child of God. You're going to experience that in a way that is beyond what you've had at home, because it's going to be you, your decisions, your choices, your growth, your maturity that's going to come to pass, and to experience everything that God has for you in a life of service for Him. So what's the key to experiencing and realizing these things in your life? And the answer, I believe, is found in the very same admonitions, the charge that the Lord gave to Joshua as he took over for Moses. We're going to look at that this morning and look at that and see that charge to you as well. So turn with me to Joshua chapter 1. We're going to read through this passage, verses 1 through 9. This is one of my favorite passages. In fact, it has one of my favorite verses, and that's Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. And I think it should be one that you should memorize as you leave to go to college and begin this new phase of your life. Memorize this verse of Scripture. I think it will be a help to you in your life. Joshua chapter 1, let's begin reading verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and of the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of a good courage? Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. You know, the reason for the change in Joshua's life was the death of Moses. So when that happened, God told Joshua, he says, now, seeing this change in your life, he says, arise. Arise and go over this Jordan. Enter this new territory, this new phase of your life. He says there's promises. God gave promises to them. The promise of God was with Joshua. There was going to be a new territory that was going to be theirs. A land that had been promised to Abraham. A promise passed down to Isaac and to Jacob. And then on to the sons. And they had never realized that. They had never possessed that land yet. He's telling Joshua, now is the time for you to go in and you will possess this. This is an opportunity provided by God. He says, I'll fight for you. When you go into this land, he says, you're going to fight against seven nations that are bigger and stronger than you are, but I'm going to fight for you, and I'm going to give you this land. He says there, every place, he says, look at verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. Now, God's not going to give you every place you tread your foot, but I do believe that everywhere you go, there are opportunities for you. Everywhere you go, every place you tread your foot, God has a purpose for you. God has provided opportunities. God will be with you and will give you spiritual victories in all that you do. These are promises God has made us. God has promised that He will provide, spiritual success. We're not promised necessarily physical and material possessions or success in this life. I don't believe that God promises that. There's too many times we've seen, faithful service of God have had to do without. I've had to go without. Paul said, I've learned in whatever state I am to be content. But I do believe God promises spiritual success and blessing every place you go. And I think that's a promise you can hold on to. Verses 5 and 6, God had a purpose for Joshua. He had a purpose of leadership. He was to be a leader in this nation. He had responsibilities in this nation. What had once been Moses' responsibilities were now his. Look at what he says there. He says, "No man." Look at verse 5. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. No man shall be able to stand before you. You are going to be used of God to stand for God. And nobody's going to be able to remove you from this position. Nobody's going to be able to take this away from you. I have a purpose for your life. It is a God-given authority, a God-given purpose, and I believe God will give you a purpose in your life as well. I don't know exactly what it'll be. I don't know where He'll take you or exactly what you'll end up doing. But I know that whatever you do, whatever career you prepare for, and wherever He takes you, that He's going to work in your life if you'll let Him. He'll be with you. That's what He says here. He says, I'll be with you. And to this people, He says, look at verse 6, be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Joshua was a leader of the people of Israel. His ministry, his service, his purpose was in behalf of his own people, the people of Israel. I think there's an important principle there. I don't know that you'll necessarily be a leader in what you do. I don't know what God has in store for you. But I do think we can take from this passage the idea that your ministry and your purpose is oftentimes, and most of the time, should be in behalf of others. That your ministry would be to help others, to minister to the needs of others. You know, look at Philippians chapter 2 for just a second. Philippians chapter 2. And look at verses 3 and 4. Paul writes to the Philippian believers, and he's encouraging them to have a unified mind and heart and soul and spirit and love for each other. Look what he says in verses 3 and 4. Philippians 2, verses 3 and 4. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. Now, I'll give you the warning right now. You're all three very successful in what you've done. You've had great accomplishments. Okay, and I'm sure that with what your plans are for the future and your careers, those are ambitious plans. Make sure that it's not a selfish ambition. Make sure that there's not a conceit and a pride behind your career goals and your college goals and so forth. What it says, in lowliness of mind and humility, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Now, if you're entering the medical profession, I know that you're entering a field where that can certainly be true in your life, where you look out for the needs of others. And I pray that that will be your heart in this, that it will be a heart of service for the Lord and service for others. Keep this in mind. It's not all about you. It's not all about you. And we need to always keep that in mind. Every one of us need that. But as you're starting out and you're entering a career and so forth, keep that in mind. God has put us here to serve others. That's why Paul had a special place in his heart for Timothy. Look at chapter 2 again. Go down with me to verse 12. Verse 20. He says, I have no one like-minded, like Timothy, who will sincerely care for your state. For all seek their own, and not the things which are of Christ Jesus. That's what I want you to keep in mind, that you would seek to help others, that you would seek the mind and heart of the Lord Jesus Christ in serving the Lord in this way, and whatever God leads you to do. That's what God is telling Joshua. You're there to serve this people and to make sure that they're given that land and that inheritance that was promised to them. God has a work for you to do. We're told in Philippians 2:12, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, and remember that it's God who works in you, both to will and to do. What's the last part of that verse? For His good pleasure. Always keep that in mind. Go back to Joshua with me. Look at verse 6. Be strong and of good courage. Be strong. That word means be strong, be firm, hold fast, hold secure to something. Be of good courage. That means to be alert, to be courageous, to be bold, to be solid in your stand for the Lord. Paul had to remind Timothy of that. Timothy had a tendency to be a little bit timid, a little bit fearful. And so in his last letter to Timothy, he writes to him in 2 Timothy chapter 1, and he tells him, he says, you need to stir up the gift of God which is in you, which is given to you by God. You need to not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or be His prisoner. You need to realize that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, a spirit of love, a spirit of a sound mind. So he says to Joshua, you be strong, you be of good courage. And you don't have to do it in your own strength. And that's not what he's telling Joshua. I'm not talking about doing this in your own strength. I'm sure Joshua was a very efficient soldier and leader, military leader, and was used of God in that way. But he's telling him, you need to be strong, but you need to be strong in my power. Ephesians 6:10 says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The strength that we have comes from Him. That's what He tells Joshua. The strength comes from you, from me. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, familiar verse. Paul says, I can do all things. Doesn't stop right there, though, does it? What does it say? Through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things. You can do whatever God calls you to do. That's what that verse is saying. You can do whatever God calls you to do as long as the strength you do it in is the strength and the wisdom that comes from your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The power comes from God. Stand firm in the Lord. Boldly take a stand for Him. We need people to do that. We need young people to take a stand for the Lord. You're going to go into the midst of situations where you're going to be surrounded by worldliness in many ways. Take a stand for the Lord. Be bold. Be courageous to stand for Him and live for Him and serve Him in His power. God's power was with Moses. Think about the things that God did through Moses. Think about the plagues in Egypt. You think the power of God was on display through Moses. 10 plagues brought upon Egypt through the hand and staff of Moses, the last being the death of every firstborn animal and man in that land. And then the power of God in saving His own people with a Passover lamb and the Passover of the Lord to save and protect them from death. Think of the crossing of the Red Sea. Moses raises up his staff and says, stand still and see the salvation of God. And the sea parts and they walk through on dry land. What an amazing display. Manna from heaven. Water from a rock. The list goes on and on, the power that was there. God tells Joshua, so it will be with you. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you as well. I will strengthen you. You can serve the Lord. You know, He enables us to have the power to serve Him. That's why He's put us here. You're here on this earth for one purpose, and that's to serve the Lord. And whatever profession, whatever career, whatever calling, whatever place you are, you're here to serve the Lord, and He will empower you to do that. He is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ask or even think or imagine. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Look at verse 7, going back to Joshua chapter 1. He says, only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. God has given you a wonderful provision. That's why our gift to you this morning was that very provision, a word of God. That is His provision for your life. It was the provision God gave to Moses. It was the provision that God pointed Joshua to. He says, I want you to observe and do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. God gave them the law. That's His word. It's the expression of His holiness and His righteousness and His purpose and His will for their lives. For them, it was the law. For them, it was the books of Genesis through Deuteronomy, the first five books, the Torah. For you, it's more than that. God has given further revelation since He gave the law. He has given, we have a completed revelation from God. In particular, we have the writings of the Apostle Paul for us today. The truth of the mystery for this age of grace and for members of the church, the body of Christ. Look with me in 2 Timothy chapter 3. I love the way that Paul reminds Timothy about the Word. In fact, if you read Paul's last letter to Timothy, that's what he talks about to him over and over and over again, is how important it is for him to stay in the Word. But I want to look at one portion. Look at verse 14. Starting in verse 14 of 2 Timothy 3. Paul tells Timothy, you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. Now, Timothy learned so much from the Apostle Paul. There's no question about that. But he learned it even more. He learned it from his parents as well. Verse 15, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. This is the book by which you were saved. This is the book by which you can be saved. It's the power of God and salvation for everyone who will believe this wonderful gospel message that Christ died for our sins, according to Scriptures, that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according to Scriptures. You believe and trust in Him and what He's accomplished for you, you're saved. God's power is in His Word to save you by believing that. But it's more than that. Look at verse 16. All the Scripture now, not just the law, but all Scripture, all the writings of God, is given by inspiration of God. It's literally breathed out by God Himself. These are His words. It's profitable for us, for doctrine, that's for teaching you, for reproof, that's showing you where you're wrong, for correction, for showing you how to get it right, and for instruction in righteousness, or literally the idea is instruction in righteous living. I mean, I would hope that one of your main goals in your life is to find God's will for your life and to do what's pleasing to Him. You're going to find it in His Word. You're going to find it in His Word. And all of this is provided for us that the man of God may be complete, spiritually mature, that you'll grow up into Christ. He says, thoroughly equipped for every good work, thoroughly fitted out and able to serve Him and to do whatever He calls you to do. I honestly believe we'll find that in His Word. And that's the provision that He's made. You know, going back to Joshua, notice what he says. He says, not only that you would read it, though, he says, verse 7, be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do. You see, that's very important. It's not only that you just read God's Word and study it, but that you have a mind and heart and a will to do what God has said, to be obedient to the Word of God, to find His will and to follow it. To observe is a strong word. It means to take heed to, yes. It means to guard it, though. It also means to guard it and to keep it. It's like a watchman that sits on the walls and watches and guards the city. You guard the Word of God. Paul told that same thing to Timothy. He says, you hold fast to that deposit that's been given to you. You heard it from me. He says, now it's been entrusted to you. Hold fast, hold firm, keep and guard it by the Holy Spirit. He says, do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left. I think that's so important, too. You're going to be tempted to turn away from the Word of God, to question what you believe. No reason to believe that you can't continue to grow. I'm not saying you've heard everything that's true and you'll never hear or learn anything new. Not saying that at all. And there may be things you've heard and learned in this church which are wrong. You know, I don't think we have a monopoly on the truth. I don't think we know and understand every single thing. You always be open to listen to the teaching of God's Word. Study it. Learn. Grow. And so forth. But make sure that you don't turn away from it. Don't turn away from the right hand. Don't turn away from it to the left hand. Stay firm and fixed on the Word of God and observe it and do it, that you may prosper wherever you go. Look at verse 8. Prosperity. There is prosperity that God has for you. Verse 8 says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Joshua was not only to observe it and to do it, he was to proclaim it. As the leader of that people, he was to proclaim that truth. You too have that responsibility of proclaiming the truth of God. That's a part of your work and your service and your ministry for God, is to proclaim the truth of God's Word. And I believe that what God has is He has success for you in mind, prosperity in mind. He said, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. Now that doesn't mean 24/7. Okay, you can't do that. I know that some days you're going to probably have to hit a biology textbook occasionally. There's going to be a little bit of time in that. What it does mean is that you make sure that this is a part of your life on a regular basis. Make sure that you are always thinking about, what does God's Word say and teach me about this situation? You hit a situation, you hit a temptation, you have a situation where you're talking to somebody about something, and something comes up and you're alerted in your mind, you say, does that square with the Word of God? Always have the Word of God in your mind. Always be ready to observe, to do according to all that is written in it. Now, you're not going to be following the law. You're not going to be following what it says in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Those are not God's instructions for us today. You can learn from them, certainly. And that's why we study all Scripture. But God's instructions for us today are going to be found somewhere else. But we do what God's Word says. And when we do, and He says, for then, when you do that, when you meditate on the Word of God, when you stay close to it, when you observe it and do it according to what's written in the Word, He says, then you will make your way prosperous. Then you will have good success. Now, I know when people go off to college, when young people go off to college, they're thinking about success. They're thinking about success in college, getting good grades and so forth, and getting a degree and getting a career going and so forth. And you're thinking about being successful in that. And there's nothing wrong with any of that. Okay? There's nothing wrong with any of that, with success in school, success in business, success in finances. There's nothing wrong with any of those things, as long as you realize that the key thing that he's talking about here is not material success, our financial success, or leadership success, or educational success. is spiritual success. That's the primary thing he's got in mind for Joshua here, is spiritual success. It's wisdom. It's prudence. It's judgment. It's decisions that are based on the Word of God and the teachings of God's Word and a life that's built upon that Word. You know, years ago I gave a speech on Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. And I've always liked this verse of Scripture because I think it hits at what young people really need to hear. That's why I encourage you, memorize Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, and the applications that it has for you. The Word of God is so important for you to spend time in. The world's idea of success is not what God's idea of success is. Don't get caught up in the world. We were talking this morning in Sunday school class about not being conformed to this world, of this evil age in which we live. Be transformed. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you're conformed to the image of your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it comes through the study and the application of God's Word in your life. And the final reminder is what he says in verse 9. Have not I commanded you? Have I not given you these commandments to remember these things? Be strong. Joshua is going to need strength to do what he had to do. Tough task. You're going to need strength as well. Be strong. Be courageous. Be of good courage. Be bold in your stand for the Lord. Be courageous when you face temptations and trials and opposition and challenges in your life. He says, do not be afraid. God has not given us a spirit of fear. It's a spirit of power. It's a spirit of love. It's a spirit of a sound mind. Do not be dismayed. Don't be broken. Don't be shattered by what the world throws at you. Because it may come at you. If you are determined to serve the Lord, Paul told Timothy, all those who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus, what's going to happen to you? You will suffer persecution. It will not be easy. So I told Timothy, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, because there are going to be some tough times. There's times when it's easier, there's times when it's tough. Be ready. Preach the word. Stand for the word. He says, be strong. Don't be dismayed. Don't be broken. Because the promise is this, God will be with you. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. You're not going into this alone. You've got family supporting you. You've got friends supporting you. You've got a church that loves you and is praying for you and supports you. You're not in this alone in that, but what's most important is you have the Lord. The Lord is with you. The Lord will go with you wherever you go. You're indwelt by the person. You're indwelt by Christ Himself. Christ is in us. Christ is in us, the hope of glory. It comes in the person of His Spirit. God's Spirit dwells within you. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, which you have from God. You're not your own anymore. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Paul said in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I says, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Keep that verse in mind as well. Christ, let Christ live through you. I'm going to leave you with one verse of Scripture. It's from the book of Acts chapter 20. And it goes back to the Word of God, because I think this is going to be so important in your lives. And again, keep in mind, new territory, new responsibilities, new decisions, new choices that are yours. Not your parents, but yours. What are you going to do? I commend you to the Word of God, Paul told to the Ephesian elders. I entrust you to God and to the word of His grace, because that's what's able, it has the power to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. You're going to need that building up day by day. You're going to need that inward man that you are in Christ renewed day by day. You're going to find that in the Word of God. I commend you to God Himself and to the word of His grace. God's grace is with you. God's grace not only saves us, God's grace teaches us, God's grace keeps us, God's grace sustains us and provides for every need that we have. Paul was told by God, he said, my grace is sufficient for you. Three times he asked to get rid of a thorn in the flesh. God said, my grace is sufficient for you. God's grace is sufficient for you. His word will guide you. It'll build you up. It'll give you that inheritance He has for you among those who are sanctified. Read and study your Bibles. Stay close to the Lord. Look for His will, and God will bless you with prosperity and success in your lives for His glory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to be together today and just to spend some time in your Word. And we know that we find rich blessings there. We find wisdom, we find knowledge, we find instruction, we find prudence to make decisions and judgments and to guide us and to strengthen us and to encourage us in every way we need in our lives. We are thankful for your precious word. We're thankful for the fact that it is the means by which we come to know Jesus Christ as Savior. The power of God to salvation for those who will simply hear the word and believe and trust in Christ. We pray, Father, especially this morning for these three young people. We're thankful for them. We're thankful for their lives. We're thankful for the accomplishments they've had and their years of school and now completing their high school diploma. And as they go off to college, we just pray for them as they prepare for careers. And we just pray that you will bless them in their college career, bless their lives, bless their testimony for you. We just pray, Father, that you'll keep them close to you. We pray that they will keep you foremost in their hearts and lives, that they'll give you the preeminence which you have, which you deserve. We pray that that'll be the case in their hearts, that they'll put you in first place. We pray that they'll spend time in your word every day, reading it, meditating on it, studying it, letting it guide them into knowing your will, giving them strength, giving them knowledge and love to make decisions and to make choices that honor you and please you and would keep you in their, and keep them in your will. We just entrust them to you, Father, and pray that you will bless them, be with their families, as they are going through changes as well, to see their children going off into new territory, new challenges to face. Just be with them and encourage and strengthen them and just help them to continue to be there to love and support them and help them as they enter this new phase of their life. And pray that we'll take the things that we've heard from this from your word this morning and encourage us, Father, and that we can know that wherever we go, we know that you're with us. We know that you have a purpose for our lives. We know that your power can sustain us. Your word is there as provision for everything we need. And we just pray that we'll be faithful in serving you and pray these young people will do the same. We ask these things in our Savior's name and for his sake. Amen.